What's up, literacy advocates? It's me, your host, Timmy Bauer. And my guest today is Lizette Serrano. She is the VP of Educational Marketing and Event Strategy for Scholastic. And she's also known as the Fairy Conference Godmother. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hi, Timmy. Hi, listeners out there. I'm so excited to be here. I sometimes giggle the nickname of the Fairy Godmother, Conference Godmother, because my Scholastic authors like to call them, gave me that nickname. Which has stuck.
I love it. What's the story behind that? How did you end up with that nickname?
Well, I've been a Scholastic for over 20 years. You know, part of my job is securing authors at national conventions, library and school conferences. So it's such a perk to be able to be with them and attend these amazing events, in-person events, to meet educators around the world and make those meaningful connections we all need to bring books to the right reader.
I love it. Liz, so every episode of this podcast is, I ask, you know, what's a commonly held belief in literacy that you passionately disagree with? And there is the belief that kids don't enjoy summer reading, which you passionately disagree with. So first of all, what do you mean? What do you mean what do you think most people think, and what do you think instead?
Yeah, I mean, think, of course, we think that summer reading, summer in general, it's time to relax, go to the beach, enjoy the outdoors, and doesn't mean that doesn't enjoy the same time reading a book or reading any kind of, like, you know, comic book, newspaper that kind of brings you together with books. So that just, you know, it's a time for children and kids and adults really to reconnect over the summer through literacy. And there's a number of ways that can be done, which I'm really happy to talk about today.
So you're cooped up in school all year, summer's coming, all this excitement, freedom. At least that's how I thought about it when I was a kid. Summer equals freedom. I can't wait to be done with school. I mean, the feeling of like, I'm done with school. And then you just ride off into the summer. I would think for most people, at least this is the perception, out goes any desire to read. How much truth do you think there is to that? And why? And in light of that, why would summer reading still be something that kids would want to do?
Yeah, well, you know, the first part would say, according to the Scholastic Kids and Family Reading Report, more than half, 59% of all kids ages 6 to 17 have said, I really enjoy reading books over the summer. And I think that is because it gives them the liberty and freedom to explore books. Again, any type of books that they want to read over the summer, books that they choose to read. So, and during that, you said that summer excitement, it does give that liberty to really focus, you know, to read a book at the beach, you know, in their own time, on their own terms, which is great. That supports independent reading, which
what do you think fundamentally is the differentiator between kids that enter the summer and still love to read versus kids that don't?
Yeah, I think the fundamental root of it is that, you know, again, kids, you know, they not having to, you know there's a set time or deadline to finish a book or read a book is important. You know, again, that liberty that they have the choice to choose books that they want to read over the summer and how that fits into their schedule is really important. I mean, I think it's also a chance to reconnect socially with family, with caregivers, with their own friends, which is a great way they can do that through the Scholastic Reading Program.
Yeah. Let's say that I'm a teacher and I want to encourage my students to continue reading through the summer. How do I do it in such a way? So for me, the challenge is they're wanting to get away from the idea of having to like do assignments, or at least that's how I felt about it. So what's your advice to teachers who want to keep their kids reading through the summer?
Let's make it fun. Let's make it fun. Let's make a fun environment for them to participate. And it feels that they're part of a community and group of people who share this, you know, share common interests in different genres of literature. You know, the Scholastic Reading Program offers that through Homebase, which is a free web platform that you can create an account and kids join a community of readers that they can again, that fun element, they can have dance parties, they can have access to a number of free books, they can engage in chat rooms with each other, you know, they build their own avatars, which are, you know, reflects who they are as a person and share common interests. and make new friends and also meet up with new friends as they would. So it's a great way to, again, to encourage that reconnection with friends or building new friends that maybe they've lost over the year and have reconnect with them over the summer.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer for me. It's like, of course, if you've been practicing reading all summer and reading books for fun, you're going to enter the school year more, at least from the literacy side of school, you're going to enter the school year way more prepared for what's coming. But the big challenge is, like, if the kid feels like it was their idea, they're going to do it. I've been thinking a lot about motivation lately because I just watched this video about a kid. Their mom handed them, so their mom had an onion on the counter and the kid thought it was an apple. And the kid goes, "Can I have that apple?" And the mom's like, "No, that's an onion." And the kid's like, "No, it's an apple. Can I have that apple?" And the kid's like, "This is an onion. You won't like it." And the kid's like, "I want it. It's an apple." And she hands the little kid the onion, and the kid starts eating it. And it's this little girl, and she, tears are streaming down her face. And the mom is like, "Do you want to stop eating the onion?" And because it was the kid's idea, this kid is like committed, like, "No, I said I wanted this. It's an apple, and I'm gonna eat it." But anyways, I need to post that on like LinkedIn and put some content around motivation there, because what was so funny to me is like when something is our own idea, the follow through is statistically so high. But when we feel like somebody else is putting a thing on us to do, it feels like work. It's not what we want to do. And that's what the school year feels like. So for me, the fundamental challenge is getting kids to want to read as if it was their idea. So go ahead and tell me about this program that Scholastic is doing, specifically how it's trying to tackle that hurdle.
I'm going to first speak to your question of motivation, because I have advice for teachers that they can give parents, because I'm a parent of two teenage boys. And then motivation, that great metaphor story you just shared, I got to use that one day. Some tips just for motivation, right? As a parent, which I've been over the years, you know, part of my job marketing books, again, making sure teachers are aware and librarians what Scholastic is publishing. I'm very good at knowing how to pitch a book. So I model that behavior at home, creating reading culture. So either, you know, I'm reading a magazine or a book, and always works. My kids come around because we're curious beings, and they always want to be like, you know, "What are you reading? That cover's cool." So that's a great conversation starter. Again, saying like what choice, you know, motivation. To me, that's a really great exercise. Another is, again, tips that teachers can give parents for this program and for home. During the summer is, you know, I have a lot of little boys, nephews in my family and cousins. And what I've been doing recently is having my kids read books to them. Like when they come over, like my youngest nephew, he loves dinosaurs. Like he's obsessed. Yes. So I always have a book. I always have books here, of course. So, you know, I told my oldest, go, you know, again, like to get them, you know, playing cards, but like, you know, go read this book to him. And he read the book to him. And it was just such a great, like, just, you know, things to just see, a bonding experience over a book, and also, you know, even the social activity of that, them bonding together over a book and just creating that moment. So again, that's another great tip, again, that motivation of like them, again, giving them the choice and how they want to, you know, participate in reading. So I just want to put that out there. It's great tips to have for teachers, for parents, or to give parents at home during the summer.
The first book that I wrote was called Billy the Dragon, because my little brother Tristan was 4 years old and I was 17, and I was just looking for something that would like cross that 13 year gap between us. So I wrote him this story called Billy the Dragon, and I would read it to him every night. And my goal was to try to make him laugh, scare him, gross him out, get some kind of reaction out of him. Yeah. Well, consequently, Tristan and I are still friends today. We still have this awesome relationship that I feel like really got going at that time. And he's super intelligent. And I can't help but think that part of it has got to be that as a 4, 5, 6-year-old kid, he's like being read to regularly by his older brother. And like having all the, we're having all these deep discussions about all kinds of different things. So he was really the inspiration for me to become a kids book author. And I'll have to share with you my most recent book, Lucas the Dinosaur Entrepreneur. Since you're, you said it was your nephew loves dinosaurs.
Yes. Yeah. My his name is Elvis.
Oh, I love it.
Like the singer.
Yeah. Anyways. So, I think we're going to end with, how this program is handling, like keeping kids internally motivated.
Yeah. So, this program again is available September 6th. You go to class.com/summer. You can find all the information and sign up for free account to Homebase, the website I mentioned, where kids can create an account, create the avatar. And within this space, kids can join other readers. There'll be weekly, every Thursday, there'll be weekly author events where there'll be authors in their own avatar gear. They get to chat with us in the chat room, ask questions about their favorite characters or books they read. They'll be able to select stories to read for free. Also watch read aloud videos, which is great. They can also make friends. And the other great component about this is that we have something called reading streaks. So every time a kid reads, you know, either a page, a few words, whatever, they can upload their reading streaks, which unlocks, which I love this about the program so much.
Yes, gamify it.
Yes. Every child that reads a reading streak creates, unlocks a free book through the Save the Children Foundation. They're donating up to 100,000 new print books to children's and rural communities, which is so important, book ownership and book access. So I love that this program offers, it's a fun environment to connect with each other, meet new friends, meet new books, but also make the world a better place, that they have the ability to empower them, that knowing that their reading is going to empower a book to get into another kid's hands. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a new component for this summer for us. We're just so proud of it, but to give the kids that empowerment to do that and feel good about that is just, it's just wonderful.
That's awesome. I love it. Liz, I have loved talking to you. This has been an awesome conversation. How should listeners connect with you?
Yes, listeners can find me on Twitter, Instagram. My handle is Miss, MISS_Lizette1. And that's how you can find me.
Great. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Timmy, for having me.